You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Andreas Hasano reports on Indonesia for the Human Rights Watch and is one of the leading figures in press freedom and training of journalists in Indonesia. I first met Andreas when I was in my internship in Jakarta last summer, and he taught a portion of my course. We managed to catch up again before he gave a guest lecture at Auckland University on political dynamics in Indonesia. We talk about Indonesia's history of violence and mass killings, the rise of independent journalism post-dictator Suharto era, and what's next for West Papua. He's recently published his book called Race, Islam and Power, about ethnic religious violence, and so I begin by asking him to summarise his research.
It is called Race, Islam and Power, subtitled Ethnic and Religious Violence in Post-Suharto Indonesia. It is a travelogue from Indonesia's westernmost island, it is called Sabang Island, to Indonesia's easternmost town called Merauke, and also from Indonesia's northernmost island called Miangas to Indonesia's southernmost island called Dana. So Indonesia is a big archipelago.
There's a lot of islands in Indonesia.
Oh yeah, you have. It depends on the tides between 17 until 18,000 island. I spent 5 years to travel by boat, by plane, by bicycle, by small boat, whatever. But this travelogue is not about the travel itself. It is mostly about mass killing, mass violence. So I visited mass grave. I visited site of ethnic and religious violence that broke out all over Indonesia after the fall of President Suharto, dictator, in May 1998. So I went to interview witnesses, survivors, and trying to understand why Indonesians kill so many among themselves after the fall of Suharto. But at the same time, I needed to know about the previous mass killing period, 1965, where at least 500,000 people were killed. So it was a travelogue of, unfortunately, mass killing.
What kind of ethnic cleansing or religious cleansing happened during that time?
It was quite diverse. Some areas like Aceh in North Sumatra, they would like to secede from Indonesia. The Acehans claim that the Javanese, this is the largest ethnic group in Indonesia, is kind of colonizing the Acehans and the other outer islanders. The Acehans claim that the name of Indonesia is actually the pseudonym of ethnic Javanese or Javanese nation. They had been holding a rebellion, armed rebellion against Indonesia for 3 decades until the 2004 tsunami ended the rebellion and resulted in a peace agreement between Indonesia and Aceh. But also about East Timor. East Timor was occupied by Indonesia since the 1975 invasion and gained a referendum in 1999 and recognized as a UN member, a sovereign state, in 2000. But also about Papua, West Papua. They were invaded by Indonesia in 1963, and until now still an Indonesian territory. Indigenous Papuan would like to be independent from Indonesia as well. Human rights abuses are rampant. But the biggest killing in post-Suharto Indonesia actually happened in the Molucca Island between 1999 until 2005.
It was a long period of time.
Oh yeah, communal violence pitting the Christian against the Muslim in southern Moluccas, and the so-called yellow forces that aligned themselves with Ternate Sultanate against the so-called white forces that aligned themselves among the Tidore Sultanate that killed, both of them killed about 25,000.
It's a very substantial amount.
Oh yes, 25,000. People told me that they saw dead bodies being cut down like feces on the street.
I'm wondering how the history books record these mass killings, or how these moments of tension, moments of conflict have been recorded or written down?
Very good questions. Unfortunately, Indonesian history book did not portray this problem proportionately. They like to portray the 1965 massacre as the communists trying to topple then President Sukarno. They did not follow the mass killing that happened in 1965 until 1968. At least 500,000 were killed, if not more than a million. In fact, a military general who spearheaded the killing said in a written testimony that about 3 million communists were killed in 1965 until 1968. The post-Suharto mass killing are not in the history book yet. It is only quote-unquote 20 years ago.
How about nowadays? How has the reporting been of current day killings and or human rights abuses in Papua?
It is not significant. The one problem with covering mass killing in Indonesia is that this country is so big. Foreign journalists are more focused on what happened on the island of Java. Or if it is involving Islamism, then international media are interested, you know, because of Al-Qaeda, because of 911, because of the Bali bombing. Because in the Bali bombing, more than 80 Australians were killed. But those that happened in East Timor or in the Molucca Island or ethnic Maduris, fellow Muslim killed by other Muslim, it was not widely covered. How are about Indonesian journalists? Independent journalism, quality journalism in Indonesia are still new. Basically, just after the fall of Suharto, 20 years. I hope much from Indonesian journalists, but the result is not adequate. Indonesian journalists have bias. There are survey after survey which reveal that Indonesian journalists, for instance, agreeing if Muslim minorities like the Ahmadiyya to be banned, or Muslim minorities like the Shia to be banned in Indonesia. A smaller percentage, less than 50%, agree with polygamy. So that show their bias. In Papua, for instance, there are hundreds of Indonesian journalists who work with the security forces as informers, or much fewer, some of them are even as agents. Of course, by journalists being involving themselves as government agents, it is not illegal. There are many journalists who work as government informers, but it will erode the public trust on journalism. So that is a huge problem that are facing journalism in Nala Prabowo.
Recently, in the Pacific Islands Forum, that a few of our New Zealand politicians were involved in, there was criticism against Indonesia about their actions to West Papua. I was reading just before that they've now sent troops to West Papua. So I'm just wondering what's next for West Papua, and what's been happening there?
West Papua is Indonesia's easternmost province. They're pretty close to Australia and, of course, New Zealand. They are dark skin, they are curly hair, physical appearances slightly different from other Indonesian, with brown skin and straight hair. But Papua is a big island, West Papua. It is about 7 times the size of the island of Java. So this, in 1962, there was an Indonesian politician who said that Papua is the future of Indonesia, or maybe some people call it the future of ethnic Javanese. Thus, the government started so-called transmigration people program to move mostly ethnic Javanese from densely populated Java Island to Papua. Fast forward to what today happening, demographically, Papua have changed. Settlers grew at about 10.5% between 1970 and 2000. In 30 years, annually about 10-something percent. Meanwhile, indigenous Papuan only grew between 1.5 until 1.8%. So there is a drastic demographic change. Human rights abuses always happen, extrajudicial killing, sexual violence, discrimination, and also restriction for independent journalists, including foreign journalists, to enter Papua over the last 50 years. Then environmental degradation for mining operation, for palm oil. So that make many ethnic Papuan feeling unhappy with. Meanwhile, what Jakarta is doing is always saying that the key problem in Papua is economic development. So they pour more money to build infrastructure, bridges, roads, that are important, but many indigenous Papuans say that they benefit migrants or settlers more than us. What they need are being treated as equal citizens with other Indonesians in those two provinces, mm-hmm. West Papua and Papua provinces.
Do they have the same rights as other Indonesians?
They are widely discriminated against, for instance, to get home loan or to get credit to do business or to buy land, to buy houses in their own land. They are discriminated. Jobs are mostly going to Indonesian settlers rather than going to ethnic Papuan. That is the problem that they are facing over the last 5 decades under Indonesian rule, to the extent that they are not happy. And annually, I have seen report of Papuan students, dark-skinned people, are being taunted as monkey. In Bahasa Indonesia, it is called monyet. Mm. Of course, it is racist. It is derogatory remark against dark-skinned people. They are called monkey or ape if they are taller. And they are angry. And what they did this week is that they retaliate. They hold mass rallies. Unfortunately, some of them turned violent. A local parliament building was burned down in Manokwari, and a prison was burned down in Sorong, inmate running away from the prison.
Do you think it's likely that West Papua want independence?
I think so. Mm. Many West Papuan feel that they are having not much hope with Indonesian rule. They are tired, I think, of being discriminated against over the last 50 years. And they don't see any significant progress made from Jakarta, especially the racism that emanate from Jakarta, from the island of Java. They are tired of being mistreated by Indonesian soldiers, Indonesian police officers. And it is too long for them to wait until Indonesian citizen like me understand how racist we are.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was Andreas Hassano from the Human Rights Watch. We ended up talking for much longer on the rise of political Islam, discrimination between minority religions, the LGBTQ community, ethnic Chinese, and the 2019 Indonesian election. So tune in next week to catch the second half of that interview.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.